With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. I'm here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about today about MERS, you know, the little pesky Middle East respiratory problem that is cropping up all over the news lately. So we're going to talk about that and what they may be finding as to where this virus may be originating from. So we're going to talk about that. And also, we're probably going to be getting into a little bit of Crohn's disease tonight and see how far we get, because if we get past that, then we may talk about, you know, allergies a little. And we do have a quack report, but don't forget, coming up next week, the 20th, Dr. Carly's going to be with us, and she'll be joining us to talk about vaccines and some other things. Also, coming up in June, we're going to have John Monroe on the 24th. He's our natural vision guy. So if you have vision problems like cataracts, macular degeneration, anything at all that you would like some natural solutions for, John is the guy. He'll be with us then. And also, if you find yourself in Charlotte, North Carolina, in July on the 26th, he's going to be doing a natural vision workshop where you can learn how to improve your vision during the workshop. And he's going to be there at the Embassy Suites Hotel on South Tryon Street from 10 to 6. If you want more information about John's workshop on natural vision improvement, give him a call. His number is 303-494-4532. That's 303-494-4532, or you can simply check out their workshops at drbanker.com. That's drbanker, B-A-N-K-E-R, and check it out. So I have one of their kits, the self-help vision kit. Awesome stuff. It's really helpful to find out what's going on with your eye in order to be able to feel empowered about helping your eye get better. Well, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting them up in prayer. I'm lifting all of America up in prayer. I'm lifting you and I up in prayer. I'm praying. And I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face because we live in the times of which we have never seen before. And MERS virus, just one of the reasons, SARS, you name it, we got problems. So we're going to need some supernatural help. So I'm seeking the Lord to ask for help. And hopefully, well, you know, his job is to, you know, in righteousness. And so if it's his will, then yes, but our job's to ask. So you never waste a minute praying to the Lord. I'll tell you that. So I hope you'll join me seeking the Lord's face. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we have? Well, this is something I sent over to Dr. Carly, probably brought a little concern, but it's an interesting thing what's going on in India. Apparently, a family there, they had a newborn baby, and part of the postnatal care is to vaccinate kids. So apparently this little boy died after the vaccine. So unfortunately the vaccinations they found was the culprit. So the government has awarded the family a cash settlement. And because they found the doctor in the hospital negligent in giving the vaccinations. So they received a compensation, which would be the equivalent of about $5,000 after their child died, after getting the DPT shot, the diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus shot, and the polio vaccine. So I guess during the investigation, they found that they didn't store the vaccines properly, and I guess they went bad, so they were technically expired at that point, and so they were declared liable. Get this, the doctor who administered the shot, the court decided you're going to pay a portion of that compensation. Yeah. How'd that work over here? Well, you know, that's terrible that they lost their baby boy due to something like that. Always investigate your options out there, folks. And we got a short quack report. Last but not least in the quacker tonight, here's something interesting. You know, all those plastic bottles, you know, with water, juice, soda, whatever, creates kind of a problem for the planet, ecological disposable problem, if you will. Just in America, there's like an estimated 50 billion disposable plastic bottles we use each year, and it takes about 1.5 million gallons of crude oil to make those bottles. Well, the United Nations Environmental Program back in 2006 said that 46,000 pieces of plastic litter wind up in the oceans, floating around for every square mile of ocean that we have. And these toxic plastic bottles, you know, they just, you know, eventually sink, and then they threaten marine life. So a recent invention has, you know, kind of gotten the attention of some folks out there. And it was also published in some science publication that they're coming out with a new way to, you know, to get rid of the plastic bottle. It's called the edible plastic water bottle. You can eat this thing. It's going to take a little bit of a development, though, before it's considered marketable and it's ready. People who have actually have tested the bottle say that it feels like a breast implant or a jellyfish. It's kind of gushy and mushy. A group of designers led by Rodrigo Garcia Gonzalez at the Imperial College of London, they developed what they called the Oh No Water Container. So instead of creating a bottle and then filling it with water, Gonzalez and his team have a process where the bottle takes shape as a coalescence around liquid. Isn't that interesting? Kind of the reverse. So they started with some frozen ball of water. They dipped it in some calcium chloride solution, then it formed a gelatinous layer. Then the ball was soaked in another solution made from brown algae extract, and that encapsulated the ice in the second squishy membrane to reinforce the structure. So the longer the water sits in the algae solution, the stronger and thicker the structure gets. So they have this issue of trying to figure out how to transport these types of containers and be available on store shelves. So they've got some solutions to work out there, but it's on the track. Maybe you'll have an edible container, an algae water container you can eat, I guess. Get your greens and plant proteins and your water all in one. I like it. And that wraps the Crack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to talk about MERS, and it's that Middle East respiratory syndrome. That's what MERS stands for, and they think it's a zoonotic. They think it's based from in an animal virus that has sort of jumped the gap to us humans. So it's called a zoonotic virus, and so we're going to find out. We're going to explore where could this thing have originated from. So there are daily reports on the MERS virus coming out of the Middle East, and it's spreading to other countries, including the United States most recently. So the World Health Organization is concerned as scientists are scrambling to decipher what this disease is and what are its origins. So as of May the 9th, 2014, there were 536 reported cases of the disease and 145 deaths. That's what we're being told. So health authorities have been tracking the development of many deadly pathogens in the last decade, and many of them are kind of rare, exotic, and very deadly, high mortality rate. So virologists are on the hunt to track down MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome virus. And the first place that they look is the animal kingdom to try to establish a link. So experts think that they have found a possible link to MERS, but what can we do to protect ourselves from these deadly pathogens? You know, these are like plagues not written of in the Bible. I mean, that's how it was presented, too. If you just go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 59 to 60, God said that there's plagues not written of in the Bible, which we are afraid of. Well, yeah. So I think we're seeing some of that, to be honest. Well, let's look, because, you know, this is scaring people of Dubai and other London, people in London, all over the place. So they've called upon some experts, and they've got what I call the virus detectives, okay? So an Egyptian physician, I'll try my best with these Middle Eastern names, folks, but I probably will massacre them. An Egyptian physician, Ali Mohammed Zaik, he encountered a mysterious infectious case back in June of 2012, which turned out to be MERS. So a 60-year-old businessman from the Saudi port of Jeddah, he arrived and he had a fever and some coughing, and within 11 days he died of pneumonia and renal failure. So Dr. Zakai, He wouldn't give up. He had to know what pathogen killed this man. And the case quickly became known as the index patient case. So Dr. Zakai took samples from the patient and carefully packaged them and sent them off to the Saudi Ministry of Health. So the samples were checked for identifiable pathogens like, you know, swine flu, the hantavirus, which is from rodents, the SARS, the coronavirus SARS, Ebola, and the Nipah from bats, that virus. and also the Hendra virus, which is from horses. But none of these viruses matched, so that wasn't the culprit that killed what is called the index patient. So next, Dr. Sakai, he sent off samples to the Emeris MC Institute in Rottingham, and he asked their virus detectives, you know, can you help me figure this out? So looks like they had a new disease, and they were all excited to find out what this was. So within a few months, virologists and epidemiologists from EcoHealth Alliance were trekking to the Middle East to track down this MERS phenomenon, this virus. So the team was looking for a zoonotic connection, you know, from animals to humans. And so they figured we're going to start with the bats, because bats harbor a lot of viruses. So they had some experience with bat-borne disease, and they've had some experience establishing that bats do carry a lot of these diseases, including SARS. So backtracking, they went where the patient was, where the index patient had worked and where he lived. And that was their first priority. But they didn't find anything unusual, so they started looking out the nearest bat, some samples there. So the bat theory wasn't really panning out very well. Meanwhile, back at the lab, the sputum samples from the index patient were being analyzed to find a connection to the coronavirus called SARS. That's called a sudden acute and respiratory syndrome. So under a microscope, a SARS virus has these knobby little rings, kind of looks like a crown. Think of a king's crown. And a crown, coronora, means crown in Latin, so that's how it got the label of coronavirus. So there are many coronaviruses, such as the common cold, and some have turned up lately to be kind of scary killer viruses causing great concern to human survival. So what they found in the sputum from the index patient was something that looked a little bit like SARS, but was not exactly. It was kind of a new coronavirus, and it was reported as such in the New England Journal of Medicine. So it was time to step it up a little bit, step up that investigation. So they wanted to test as many animals as they could find in the region where the index patient was. So they were testing sheep, horses, goats, and cows. Well, the disease detectives, they also went back, they revisited the index patient's house because nothing showed up at work or at the warehouse where he worked. So the man from the Saudi port of Jeddah had many wives, and they were tested along with the palm trees in the yard and all the livestock. So the team was swabbing and syringing everything in sight, but still no smoking gun, until they observed near the house where the patient lived, they had a paddock, and inside were four camels. However, these were not working camels. These were the index patient's pets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, over in the Middle East, sometimes, you know, they'll use camels for camel milk or meat and transportation, but this guy had camels for pets. So the WHO originally named this mysterious pathogen the novel coronavirus. Symptoms of the disease are fever, coughing, hemorrhaging, kidney failure, and respiratory arrest. So mortality is high, and death can occur in less than 14 days. So by May of 2013, the virus had traveled from the Middle East to England, to Germany, to France, Greece, and much of Europe. And even Canada and the United States started showing some cases. So the team was hoping to find a link, to link this disease back to maybe, I don't know, a sick camel that had been sold to the index patient. So they were tracking ownership of one camel, and it showed it had infected seven other previous owners with the same disease, and four of them died. So the disease detectives learned that camels, well, they're bought and sold in the Middle East by the tens of thousands, and they're imported from Eastern Africa. So scientists don't know yet where MERS originated or how camels got the disease. So camels are used, as you know, as transportation sources, entertainment, for affection, apparently, and for the source of food in the Middle East. So camels in the Middle East are the equivalent of dairy cows, racehorses, working horses, and pets in here in the U.S. That's kind of like what they are. So they started testing camels everywhere. And the MERS virus showed up in camels located also in the Canary Islands. However, not all kinds of camels have the MERS virus. Camels from the Middle East, Africa, Spain, and the Canary Islands showed they had pathogen MERS markers, as you would in their DNA and in their blood. So the Ministry of Health in Saudi Arabia released an announcement that about 75% of the kingdom's camels contain the biological footprint for MERS. And scientists were wondering, how did camels get the disease? And they kept going back to the bat theory, the bats, as the original carrier, but they can't support the theory yet. One thing they did determine is that they found 20-year-old camel blood samples, and they found traces of the MERS viruses in that. So it appears that the pathogen has been evolving for a little while. Scientists call that genetic reassortment. So scientists in Australia are now testing both bats and camels that were used by the British for pack animals back in the 19th century. And then when they were done with them, they let them go loose on their own. So they got like 300,000 camels now in Australia. All right. So what's the Saudi government doing? Well, Saudi medical doctors noticed an uptick in the cases of MERS recently with no understanding of why. Suddenly, doctors started not showing up for work, afraid of catching the virus. Now, in April 2014, the Saudi Minister of Health, I'll try my best on this name, folks. It's Abdullah Al-Rebek. He made a televised appearance to the people of Saudi Arabia. He was suggesting people stay calm while they were ushering some stricter precautions. Well, he was fired the next day. And then a diagnostic physician who first noticed MERS as a coronavirus and has sent a notice to the International Infectious Disease Newsletter called ProMed, he was also fired back in 2012 by the Saudi Ministry of Health. What's with that? Really? So health authorities still do not know how this virus can go from like animals like camels to humans, because not all victims that have come down with the disease, the MERS, had any contact with camels. So they must have gotten it. It suggests that the virus came past from a human to human then. So they continue to monitor if contact might come from consumption of camel milk sold in the Middle East or camel meat. So health authorities are cautioning people, don't eat any raw camel products, okay? So they're worried about that. Now, if you're interested in some updated reports on outbreaks of MERS and travel advisories, of course, you can see some updated stuff on the CDC website, and you can check that out there. Well, let's talk about risk. Who is at high risk? Well, health experts are advising people to avoid high-risk areas of travel this summer and avoid hospitals reporting to be treating patients with MERS. So avoid, they say, markets, fairs, zoos, and circuses, or any place where you have exotic animals and even camels that may come in contact with humans. They say avoid exploring caves where bats live. And the young and old will be at a higher risk, as well as anybody with autoimmune disease, people who suffer from diabetes, chronic lung diseases, renal failure, and heart disease should take extra care. Now, air travel to and from the Middle East is also risky, as pathogens may be passed to passengers from a sick individual, cabin air pressure, that kind of thing. So it's common for one person with a coronavirus to infect 250 other people. So air travel in the Middle East often connects to Africa. However, other routes involve North Korea, Kuwait, Algeria, London, New York to Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Somalia, Venezuela, and Iran. Now, Delta, by the way, has a flight clan map that you can check to see the hubs affected in the possible spread of MERS. So you can go to their delta.com website and check out they have some downloadable route maps you can check out. But if you also want to check a specific airline by name to see where it is flying to, you can check airfarewatchdog.com. They also have some airline official routes with maps that you can check. So it's really kind of cool. You can click on the region and see where people are zipping to. All right, let's talk about pathogen protection because, you know, well, last year it was SARS, and the year before that was swine flu, and the year before that it was bird flu. So it looks like science is kind of fixated in identifying a bat flu to me. It just seems like they're kind of nailing the bats on this. So are these naturally occurring, or are these scientifically are these diseases being scientifically helped along? Or is there somebody trying to create these types of deadly pathogens so they jump from animal to human, which is usually unheard of? So, but either way, deadly is still deadly, right? Right. So one thing the disease detectives noticed is that the camels coming from Africa infected with MERS and the ones in the Canary Islands, well, they had human population that had resistance to the pathogen. So that tells me that strong human immune systems are able to defend from these unknown viruses. So educate yourself on what natural therapies will empower your immunity and overall health and learn how to use them. So because there's no vaccines, there's no antibiotics for this buggeroo. So there are herbs actually that can fast track deadly pathogens and viruses out of the body really quickly. I would recommend you learn what they are and how to use them. So if you'd like to learn more, where to begin, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Find out how you can strengthen your immune system and how to cleanse and nourish the body to heal itself. Yeah, so power up that immunity. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You can call them toll-free, and you can get a free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. But if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. Of course, they do have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. You can also get there by typing herbtalklive.com. So yeah, check it out. They're on their website, if you get an opportunity, they do have some kits, and they have a pandemic kit. They have a lung kit, since this seems to attack the pulmonary pretty quickly. That's what I would do, is power up with some of God's good herbs, because herbs are here for the serviceman, the good book says. And I'm going to put my trust in the herbs over these plagues not written of in the Bible. Obviously, I think God knew something was going to come down the pike, right? If they're naturally evolving, or if they're being scientifically generated diseases. Either way, I'm powering up with God's good herbs. That's what I'm going to do. Lots of immune-boosting tools at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have 100% organic, non-GMO, non-synthetic formulas that are professional strength. So cold-pressed, certified organic formulas, no heat, makes very powerful formulas for you to use. If chiropractors are using them, integrative medicine doctors are using them, why shouldn't you? Yep. Don't delay. Pick up the phone and call, or go to the website, thepowerherbs.com, toll-free number 866-229-3663. All right, we're going to be shifting gears here. I know we're coming up to a break, but we're going to be talking about Crohn's disease on the other side. Be right back. We got a right to just love it or leave it. You find it and keep it, because it ain't every day you get the chance to say,
better than anything I've ever had, 'cause you're so damn life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be covering Crohn's disease. I don't know, maybe you have a family member that has digestive problems. Maybe you can, you know, shed some light on the subject for them, because it all stems from lifestyle. It all stems from usually the diet and what's going on there. So we're going to be talking about some chronic digestive malfunction, and it's also called Crohn's disease. There's about 500 million Americans that have this disease, and about 10% are under the age of 18. So you see a lot of high school kids with this problem. Have you seen what they're serving up at the high schools and stuff, the public schools? It's no wonder. Now, if a family member has Crohn's disease, they say your risk of getting it is higher. So nearly 20% of those that are diagnosed with the disease have blood relatives with the same condition. Well, this makes total sense. It's not genetic. It's because the lifestyles are so similar. You tend to eat and live like your relatives before you, see? Now, according to Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, both men and women suffer equally from this disabling disease. But interestingly, those with a European or a Jewish heritage are at even a greater risk of developing Crohn's disease than those with an African-American heritage have less of a risk. Well, again, it stems from culture, foods, diets, that kind of thing. So let's talk about what it is and what it isn't. Crohn's disease is really an acute inflammation of the bowel tissue and can affect the entire digestive tract, mouth, esophagus, stomach, small and large intestine, rectum, and the anus. So the most common area affected is the ileum or the lower small intestine. So the swelling and inflammation causes many symptoms, and the most common symptoms are going to be pain, vomiting, and diarrhea, and kind of a spastic colon situation as well. Other symptoms are rectal bleeding, weight loss, arthritis, skin problems, inflammation of the eyes, and even fever. So Crohn's disease affects the immune system, and therefore it is not uncommon for those who also to develop autoimmune diseases as such as lupus with this, okay? Well, all that inflammation, see, sets off a chain reaction. Let's talk about some of the causes. What do you think could cause Crohn's disease? Well, I mentioned lifestyle. Now, modern medicine blames heredity, okay, the environment, and the immune system for going haywire. That's the reason you've got a digestive system not working. That's what they say. Their theory is that the immune system is reacting to good digestive bacteria and food like it was a foreign body and it attacks it. So the white blood cells, they say, accumulate in the lining of the intestines, causes the inflammation, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, you have Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. Well, if your doctor suspects that you have a digestive disease, you will most likely be referred to what is called a gastroenterologist. And a series of tests will be performed to rule out diseases and to come to a diagnosis of Crohn's disease. So you're going to be given blood. So your doctor can test it, and you're going to be given some stool samples, so your doctor can test that. Now, you may even have an upper GI done, or a colonoscopy, or a sigmoidoscopy. This is going to be done to sample tissue, to have it biopsy, to see what's going on inside there. And you will be poked, and you'll be prodded, and stuck, and jabbed, and practically dissected by allopathic medicine. So in the end, you will be put on a combination of drugs, basically some anti-inflammatory drugs, some steroids, some cortisone, maybe some immune system suppressors, antibiotics, of course, diarrhea drugs, and fluid replacement products to prevent dehydration. I almost forgot. You're also going to get a bunch of synthetic supplements, also known as petrochemical drugs. So after all that, you may still be scheduled for surgery. So according to Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, 75% of those folks with Crohn's disease will require surgery at some point due to complications. So what that tells me is their course of treatment doesn't work. It doesn't cure it. It doesn't reverse it. If 75% going to need some surgery, I'd say the 25% that don't get smart and they start changing lifestyle. Now, there are four types of surgery for Crohn's disease. One is a partial bowel resection, which removes the diseased part of the intestine. Then there's the stricturplasty, which shortens the intestine and widens any narrow areas. Then there's the fistulous correction, which basically connects intestine to the bladder but does not drain intestinal contents into the bladder. And then they drain any abscesses with a needle they insert into the abscess to drain away infection. Those are things that can be done. See, that's what they do. So the goal is to ease your symptoms, not erase them. It's to control your system, your symptoms, not to eliminate them. And it's to reduce inflammation and pain that the disease causes, but not get at the cause of them. Okay, so this is a disease management program designed to help you be as comfortable as possible while you're still sick. So modern medicine admits that there is no cure for Crohn's disease. It's symptom management, simply. And they hope and pray that there's just a remission of symptoms. Well, a remission is not a cure. I'm going to say it again. In medical terms, remission means lessening of symptoms. Doesn't mean they cured you at all. Well, let's look at some of the risks associated from Crohn's disease. Say they experience flare-ups when under more stress. Scientific medicine cannot explain that, and therefore they don't accept the stress as a trigger for the disease. And one of the biggest risks of living with Crohn's disease is that a blockage in the intestine could develop due to a thickening in the intestinal wall. So the intestinal tissues become inflamed, they swell, they develop scar tissue as the process repeats itself over and over again. So acute cases will have sores and ulcers that tunnel through the intestine and affect surrounding tissues and even organs like your bladder, the vagina, the anus, the rectum, skin. So this process produces fistulas, which become infected and require surgery if medicine can't clear the infection with drugs. This process weakens the intestine and other tissues, and fissures or tears can develop in the lining of the mucous membranes, especially around the anus area. So if surgery is required, there is a risk that the entire colon would need to be removed, called a colostomy. And a colostomy is where, you know, they put a hole, or what they call a stoma, is made in the front of the abdomen wall at the end of the small intestine, and where the tip of the ileum would be. And the tip is brought through the stoma, which is about the size of a quarter, to exit the body near the belt line. And the patient wears a pouch over the opening to collect waste material or stool, which must be emptied frequently. All right, let's talk about prevention. Because it is all about diet. That's what it's about. So if your ancestors had Crohn's disease, it's probably because their diet. We tend to eat like our family members. Diets containing rich foods, gravy, heavy meats, heavy starches, processed white flours, overcooked foods, fried foods, excessive dairy tend to lead to digestive diseases like this. So having a sluggish bowel will allow waste to remain in the colon too long and produce toxicity. Weakens the bowel, the membrane walls. All of a sudden, your bowel gets acne, and that's what those fistulas are. So a sluggish bowel is from basically an improper diet, too much meat, too much starch, and not enough whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. Simple. Not hard. Not hard at all. Okay. All right. Let's look at some foods that tend to make this whole thing worse. According to Dr. Helen Castile, the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences, the foods that you want to avoid to help your situation, avoid clear liquids and sugary fluids like soda and diet soda, she says, Gatorade, Jell-O, and milk. Which has natural lactose or sugar, just going to exacerbate Crohn's disease. Sugar will pass through, drawing up from you more water, and salt dehydrates the system, further causes more nausea and vomiting. And foods that produce gas that make you more uncomfortable are, of course, your beans, cabbage, onions, which will encourage spasming and discomfort in the bowel. Coarse fruits and vegetables and whole grain cereals are at this point real difficult to digest if the disease has progressed this far. Any beverages with caffeine definitely should be avoided because it further dehydrates you. Fried foods, convenience foods, fast foods, all are bad, according to the good doctor, and will contribute to bowel dysfunction. So let's recap these common culprits that are on the do not eat list. Milk, coffee, artificial sweeteners, sugar, refined sugar, fruit juice, and gassy foods and fast foods. Okay, these are just going to be a nightmare for anybody with digestive problems. And here's the tip. You want to watch diet foods because they can be just as bad. A hard candy, even gum, can have a lot of artificial sweeteners because they can work as a laxative, creating diarrhea. So a small dose of sorbitol, for instance, an artificial sweetener, delivers bowel dysfunction in 40 to 75% of adults. Well, let's check out something that's going to soothe the digestive tract, shall we? Aloe, olive oil, if you take them internally, tend to soothe the intestines from top to bottom. So you can add some flaxseed oil if you want twice a day for more comfort and relief. Some other soothing herbs are slippery elm inner bark. This is awesome, which stops diarrhea in a skinny minute. I like to layer in some fennel seed if you got a little bit of gas going on. So slippery elm, you can actually use slippery elm inner bark in enemas if you have to do them for any reason once in a while. It will soothe the lining of the bowel. So you can put some flax oil also in with your slippery elm and use that as a lower bowel enema. And if cramping occurs, you know what I like to do if I'm using a little bit of an enema for the lower bowel? I'll add some catnip herb or a little lobelia herb, which relaxes the muscles of the bowel so the spasming goes away. So like a teaspoon of a lobelia tincture or liquid in 2 quarts of water is good in an enema. Or you can brew some tea and let it cool and put that in your enema, and that'll be just fine. So actually, these type of herbs will help firm up bowel movements in about a week if you use them. After the bowel movements become firm, you want to do a complete bowel cleanse at that point. Obviously, you're changing the lifestyle as well, so you're getting rid of all those offensive foods that the body doesn't like. Now, there's some other things. Besides the lifestyle changes, which will be permanent, by the way, these aren't temporary, you want to utilize some other digestive herbs that are very good. Fenugreek is also very helpful, and we mentioned lobelia is great as an antispasmodic and slippery elm for stopping diarrhea. So if you want to use fennel seed for the gas and bloating, that's excellent. Ginger root also stops the nausea, and also peppermint calms the stomach down, if that issue too. So if you use a teaspoon of your fennel extract or tincture, a teaspoon of each, fennel, ginger, peppermint, and slippery elm, and about an ounce or so of water, it stops nausea and vomiting and diarrhea in a skinny minute. Definitely awesome stuff. So you want to deal with your stress a little bit better, too, if stress is a trigger, to calm the nerves, especially of the bowel. And because there's a definite connection between the brain and the bowel, whenever you get nervous, all of a sudden, uh-oh, where's the bathroom? So you want to be able to handle stress and nervousness a lot better. And there are some herbs that will help you with that. I like to use valerian root. It calms the nerves down and helps you cope with stress better. Also, we want to get some natural vitamin B into the diet because so many of the supplements for bees are synthetic out there. So you want some natural ones. I would definitely check out this powder mix that you can throw into vegetable juice or water. You want to watch the citrus juices because there's lots of natural sugar. And right now, while you're during this reconstructive phase of your lifestyle, you want to avoid a lot of sugars. So if you must use citrus juice, I would cut it with more water to reduce the sugar content if you're going to use it. But add the body food mix to some vegetable juice and get that natural plant proteins going that are easily absorbed by the bowel. The bowel doesn't have to work so hard. And also you get that natural Bs to help the stress factor because your nerves run on B vitamins. And so if you're low on Bs, you definitely want to get that going. Also, you want to check out when you get things really under control, check out bowel cleansing. You definitely want to remove more pathogens that aren't supposed to be down there. And so you want a safe and effective cleanse, a very gentle and effective cleanse. And so you want to be able to do that safely. So check out the bowel cleanse at thepowerherbs.com. And you can hit healthy guidelines, that little tab, and you will learn how to go about safely doing cleansing. And there's a certain way you want to do it so that you don't run into obstacles or problems. So check that out. A bowel cleanse kit, not going to cost you very much at all. And it probably save you a lot of time and misery down the road. You can add to your bowel cleansing some things like black walnut if you think you have parasites, and it's more of an astringent to help tighten up things. Now, for inflammation, I like to use willow bark and meadow sweet because the elements in these herbs have salicin, which are not only a natural pain reliever, but they're also an anti-inflammatory as well, and it's not addictive. It's not going to suppress immune system or have any other adverse issues. So definitely check out that. Now, if you do have an allergy to aspirin, you will want to use caution using willow bark and meadow sweet because of the salicin content, which is something that they use to make aspirin with. All right. So you got some options there. Digestive kits online at thepowerherbs.com. Of course, your bowel cleanser is there as well. Lifestyle change, you know what to do. And I say a safe, really safe lifestyle diet is the Mediterranean diet. You get lots of omega-3 fatty acids. You get a little bit of chicken, fish, and beef, not a whole lot, like 4 ounces. And then you get more whole grains, fruits and vegetables that after you get things under control, you won't have a problem with. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com, and order a free product catalog at least and get familiar with, you know, how powerful you can be with a few basic herbs that are very, very strong for you. All right, we got a few minutes. And we're going to touch on some allergies here because there's so many people in the springtime having allergy problems. A lot of people seem to be more prone to allergies than others. But I've noticed in the last decade or so, allergies are more frequent and increasing in severity. So allergies have moved up actually from the 6th leading cause of chronic disease to the 5th leading cause of disease in the United States medical science area. And they're saying that if one parent has allergies, you know, their kids also 48% increased risk of also having allergies. Well, if both parents have allergies, then they say the kids, you know, 70% chance you're going to have allergies too. So we currently have 1 in 5 Americans that have asthma, food allergies. That affects about 4% of the adults and 8% of the kids. And I haven't really got onto the subject of, you know, sinusitis, hay fever, dermatitis, bug bites, you name it. There's lots of allergies out there and responses that we can have, and it affects about 50 million Americans. So allergic disease costs our U.S. economy $18 billion annually, and, you know, we miss out on work and school, and it costs a lot of money. Also, we have a large part of the U.S. population, about over half, 55%, who not only have complained about allergies, but they have tested positive for being allergic. So what is even more shocking is that we spend 90% of our lives indoors. Each year, we rush 30,000 Americans to the ER with food allergy reactions, and an estimated 100 people, actually, usually children, die from food-induced allergies. So like peanut, tree allergies produce the most severe allergic responses, and that affects 3 million. children who have allergies to peanuts have doubled in the last few years. Of course, if you've listened to Dr. Carley, she says it's because they've used peanuts in making vaccines. So allergic sinusitis has increased 15-fold as well. 16.7 million people go see the doctor for that. And the most chronic allergic diseases for doctor's visits is the sinus infections, 6 billion a year. 38 million Americans with sinus infections miss an average of 4 days of work every year. So it doesn't mean, though, it doesn't mean you have to suffer. No, it doesn't. That's not what I'm saying. A lot of people are using a lot of histamines. Actually, medical science really isn't sure what causes allergic reactions because so much depends on not only hereditary hormones, emotional, environmental stress and toxins, what you're exposed to, that's really hard to nail it down. So we live in a world where one out of two people suffer from some allergy. And allergic symptoms, well, you know what they are, swelling, redness, itching, breathing problems, hives, eczema, constipation, depression, memory loss, eating disorders. It's pretty massive as to how the body responds to these things. So people tend to go and they want to get tested. So if you don't know what you're really sensitive to when it comes to foods, actually you can do your own test. Skin testing is done at the dermatologist, and it's limited. They can only test for a limited number of irritants, and not all of them are foods. And they're only about 20% accurate. A better test is actually to do a four-day test. Fast, which has a 90% accuracy rating. Also, a little known truth by ecologists is if you take a 6-month break from an offending food, you should be able to tolerate it 50 to 70% better the next time you have it. So sometimes allergies are triggered by chemical agents. Maybe it's paint, smoke, bug spray, mothballs. So try to remove as much of these things from your environment. And also, it's, another thing is the cooking gas. Heating can also cause allergic reactions, so you may want to avoid restaurants that use those types of gases in cooking. It could cause an asthmatic response. So modern medicine doesn't really educate people to be more sensitive to what could be triggering it. So making yourself more sensitive could actually reduce or narrow down the culprits. You keep a food journal, for instance, and see what you're hyposensitive to. Or you can check and also start removing allergic agents from your environment and see if that doesn't help you as much. According to a natural physician, Wayne Mitchell of Baston College Health Information Project, he says the flavonoids in your foods help work to block histamines and other compounds that tend to cause allergic reactions. So the foods that you could utilize, he says, are dark green or sweet peppers, have lots of vitamin B6, your leafy green vegetables, your citrus fruits, melons, parsley, berries, a lot of vitamin C. These reduce blood histamine levels and sensitivities. Asparagus, seeds, and nuts and seeds if you're not allergic to them, spinach, lots of vitamin E there. These are also antihistamine protection types of foods. Cauliflower, spinach, garlic, also going to help you out. Antioxidants, of course, and you know what you could do out there. Just beef up the diet with some of these things and keep a food journal. You'll probably be better off. Also, if you're looking for some herbs to help you out with allergies, there's a whole section on the powerherbs.com website with lots of formulas there. Just to give you an idea, there is the Echinacea Deluxe, which is really good for sinusitis or sinus infections, and they have some overall general immune boosters you can use as well. There's stuff for ear infections, and your options are endless, so check it out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call, 866-229-3663. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, cure disease, so seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.